You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, welcome to a brand new episode of the Step Over Podcast. I am Jim Adair. With me, as always, is Max Rappaport. Max, how you doing?
Feeling sad and congested, Jim.
Before we unpack that, Max, I have an announcement. I'm sure if everyone who listens to this podcast is on Twitter to some extent, sure, probably, right? And so you've probably seen people talking about this tailgate that's happening coming up, this Mike Scott Hive tailgate thing happening next Saturday, the 23rd. Before the Jimmy Butler Heat game. It's going to be a really cool time. Lots of people are going, so much so that I was asked if I could like mention it on the pod, and I double-checked. Do you still want me to mention it? Because there's a lot of people going to be showing up, and a lot of good planning is going into it by some smart and good people, but like, I don't know, man. I would be overwhelmed if I was involved in the planning of it at all. So, sorry if this causes more people to go, but also it should be fun.
You're giving us there. You're giving
Max
ourselves way too much credit. That we're going to demonstrably affect the attendance.
Yeah. If you listen to this and you see us there, know that I brought some beers and know you cannot have any. I'm making a point to make sure that people do not speak to me in public. That's a goal of mine. It'll be a cool time. I'm just joking. It'll be cool. It's going to be a good time. There's a tailgate pre thing. If that's too cold for you, there's a watch party at Bullies at Xfinity Live. And then there's also an after party. And I've heard rumblings, Max, and I apologize if this is incorrect, but I have heard some rumblings of some karaoke.
I have heard the same. Actually, okay, last night was putting together a playlist of potential karaoke bangers, although I don't know if they'll go over as well at Bullies as they would at a more low-key establishment.
I did karaoke at Bullies once after a Sixers game last year. My friend Camillo and I were at the game. It was Jimmy Butler's first home game by coincidence. It was sold out game, and it was just like absolutely slammed line to the subway afterwards. And I'm like, let's just pop in the Bullies for a beer, let that line die down, and then head home. So we went in there, and one beer turned to, I don't know, 15 to 18 beers. And there was karaoke set up there, and this DJ, and there was like a big sign behind him that said like karaoke. And the DJ was just playing regular songs. And after every song, he'd be like, you know, once again, guys, karaoke getting started any minute now. Whenever anybody wants to come up and put a song in, we'll kick it all off. Just come on up. Just come up and tell me what song you want to sing. Got a book right here. Whenever you guys want to go, we could start it up. And he did like five songs. No one was coming up. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going. So we went and signed up. I don't know what I guess I sang Complicated, probably. And that really kicked the whole thing up. All of a sudden, line forms, people signing up, going nuts. I signed up again later and did Wild Wild West, and people did not care for it.
Wow.
Not at all. Not in the slightest.
Did you like really know Wild Wild West well enough to do it?
Oh, I know all the words to Wild Wild West.
If you bang that out, I feel like it's a... I just went to karaoke last weekend, and somebody did that, and it was impressive. They were like really on their shit.
The only part that trips me up is there's one part in... the second verse where
it's at the wickety wild. Is it that part?
No. There, because I talk fast as it is, but sometimes I guess I talk too fast and I almost trip over my own words as it happens. And there's a part that always, I think it's to any outlaw trying the draw part, because he slows down the cadence and it trips me up. So I mumble that most of the time, but I know all the words. It was actually the first song I ever did at karaoke was Wild Wild West.
So what you're saying about Bullies is that we can kind of create the vibe we want as long as we get up there early. So if I want to get up there and do Tracy Chapman, that'll kind of set the mood off in the way I
now,
want
Max,
it to.
Now, Max, couple things.
Yes.
One, let's not turn people away from the party. Two, we will be at the game, so I'm assuming the vibe will be created while we are inside the Wells Fargo Center. And three, I think fast car is always welcome.
All right, good.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's next Saturday, 23rd. Have a good time. Come say hey, hang out. Good times, good people, etc. So, Max, on the basketball front, this surprised me, and I think you as well. Four Sixers games have passed since the last time we talked, and they're actually 2-2 in that span. It feels like they're 0-12.
Yeah.
But 2-2. So, let's talk about it. Not a great feeling, 2-2. I didn't watch all the game last night because I have better sense than that. But I saw enough of it to not like what I saw. Since our last podcast, Tobias Harris has not made a single three-pointer. He is 0 for his last 23. Which is not ideal. But Max, in general, feelings, go ahead.
I'm trying not to panic. It feels way too early to panic, and I'm sick of panicking about the Sixers. But man, it just does not feel good. I don't know. I don't want to like get into a whole. I don't want to have a lot of takes on this podcast. I want to go right down the middle. But I don't know. Watching this team, it just feels like watching them the last week and a half, basically since the Portland game. It just feels like the fit's not there, or they're just not playing into the fit. Tobias has been a disaster, but I think that's just, it's been a really cold stretch. But like Simmons hasn't really been stepping up in the way you want him to since he came back. And Embiid's been like the one bright spot. Richardson's doing what he's doing, but it just doesn't feel like anyone's like stepping into that void. And when Tobias Harris is shooting 0% on like a million threes over the last six games, it doesn't really feel like there's anyone to step up and make shots, and it's pretty brutal to watch, just the way they've been playing in the half court recently.
It is interesting that you say Richardson's doing what Richardson does. Did you know that Josh Richardson's effective field goal percentage is actually lower than Tobias Harris's?
It doesn't feel like that, but I guess
it doesn't, right?
I believe it.
Tobias Harris's effective field goal percentage is also above Al Horford's. But that's pretty much because Tobias is finishing at the rim. He's shooting 57.9% on two-pointers. So. But in general, yeah, not pretty basketball, even when they win. Right? I did this. I pulled some numbers up here. Among all players that have attempted at least 100 field goals this season, in sort of by effective field goal percentage, Simmons is 31st overall, which is solid, you know, for a guy who just shoots at the rim pretty much. You expect that. Embiid's 63rd. Harrison Horford is 74th and 75th, and Richardson's 88th. For a supposedly stacked, mostly defensive but also pretty good offensive starting five, that's not what you want to be seeing. Part of that comes down to fit. Part of that comes down to inconsistency of matchups and lineups, and we've already seen like it seems like 11 different starting lineups in 11 games. And there are going to be growing pains when you bring basically half of a brand new team in. Tobias Harris has still only played fewer than 40 games as a Sixer, but that doesn't make it any like more enjoyable to watch. And part of the reason why I think it's such a bummer this season so far, even when they do win, is because when they lose, they're either just sucking it up and just being terrible all over the place, or they're like playing weirdly well but just getting beat, which is not what a team of this caliber should be doing. And when they win, it feels like they shouldn't even be winning the games. It's like, how are they even pulling this off? Like, you watch a game, and it feels like they're down 12, and it's like, oh, they're up 5? Like, they don't even deserve to be in this. I looked it up. It's actually shocking. In the losses they've had so far, so they're 7-4, so in their four losses, they've shot as a team 38.2% from three. Right? That's pretty good. So you're thinking, that sucks because you're draining the shots you should be draining and you're still losing the game. And then in their wins, they're shooting 30.3% from three, which also sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's like, God, you watch them play bad basketball and they still win. Like, there's no, it's so hard to enjoy like a scraped away bad basketball win and then either it's a bad loss or a loss where it's like, fuck, they should have won that game. And that's all they're having so far.
It's basically every win with the exception of the season opener against Boston and the Timberwolves game has felt like they've eked it out, but like easily could have lost that game. And most of their losses, they have had a couple close losses, but like their losses have just felt bad. And they've been to bad teams. Mm-hmm. Like some of them have been to bad teams. Like it's a bummer. Like, it's nice that they're finished. It's nice that like finally the Sixers aren't losing every close game like they used to, and they're like winning games they shouldn't. But it's not really that much of a consolation when you're expecting to be one of the three best teams in the league and you're losing to the Orlando Magic and eking out a 1-point win over the Cavs that you probably should have lost.
Yeah. They are 4-0 at home, which is basically just taken for granted at this point. And at home, they're shooting 28.3% from three.
Oh, man.
And they're living and dying by it, and they're still winning those games, and it's so painful to watch.
Yeah, I guess that should make us feel better, though, because that's...
But does it?
Just because you don't think Tobias Harris is going to shoot 25% from three the rest of the year, and you think... you would think that Josh Richardson's going to step up in that way, and like...
If you Embiid's actually
been shooting like 39% from three this year, but you would think like everyone else is going to get more comfortable and step into their role a little bit more.
So in the four games at home, they're shooting 28.3% from three. If you remove every single one of Tobias Harris's misses, it's still only 33%.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah. They've lost three games by five or fewer points, and they've won three games by five or fewer points. In those wins, they have shot less than 27% from three. And in the losses, 42.5%. It's all fucking backwards, man. Why is this happening? How are they losing, like just barely losing while shooting 42.5% as a team from three and then scraping out wins when it's under 30? It makes no fucking sense. And that's why it's been so hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's like it is humorous because I can't, you know, I can't get that negative. We've talked about in the last episode the multitude of reasons why I can't get super down about it yet, right? There's early, many different rotations and rosters, people being hurt and suspended and this and that and all this stuff. I still can't get stressed out, but it's very, very funny how this is all working out. Like, it's hilarious that the games they win, they're just like bricking everything left and right from three. It makes no sense. Oh boy, it's stunning.
Meanwhile, Furkan's shooting 41% on five threes a game.
Yeah, and he started cold. Like he was started, I think he started this season like 0-for-5 from three. So if you take those out, it's He's been like weirdly the saving grace, which is unsustainable, I would say. But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting, I don't know, couple of weeks coming up. They do have, it is also weird that they've played 11 games and only four have been at home. That is kind of odd.
But
their next two are also on the road. So, and they are typically a home team. I looked it up earlier. Give me one second here. This is not to excuse it. This is just to put context in it. Let me see here. Go to my notes app. In the past two seasons and this season included, the Sixers are 65-21 at home and 45-44 on the road. They're a 500 team on the road.
So. Well, I will say that after these next two road games, they have, I'm just counting it up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 9 of their 12 games after that will be at home. And if you stretch that out even more, they go on a couple of little road games, and then they have like another five at home. So
yeah, it's more evened out for sure.
It'll even back out before Christmas, but it's still inexcusable. Like they have no business losing the way they did to the Magic last night. Like that's just
no.
And I'm not usually that guy, but it just they're not looking like the caliber of team they should, and they haven't really since the Timberwolves game. Like since Embiid sat out those two games, they've either eked out wins that were close against teams that like the Hornets and the Cavs, or they've lost or lost to teams they shouldn't lose to. I mean, the Jazz is probably the only like of those losses probably the most excusable, but yeah, it's I'm not freaking out, but it's a bummer. Yeah. That said, they're still on pace for like 52 wins right now.
Yeah, they're on pace for what they did the last two seasons. And you figure, like I said, they're going to find a rhythm. Like they're I have a hard time believing that they won't be better than this for the rest of the year. That would absolutely shock me. Shooters are going to average, they're going to average out. You're going to have more regular minutes, more regular rotations, hopefully with fewer injuries and suspensions, hopefully coming up. You still have your planned back-to-back switches with Embiid and Horford probably alternating sometimes or, you know, whatever. I think the team will even out, and you should, but it's just, it's been so hard because it's always, you know, it's kind of like a running joke with the Sixers for the last eternity that, like, a lot of times even the wins will feel like losses because it's 47 and a half minutes of just stress and then like a little bit of a win at the end, which can cause, you know, it's elation like that the Korkmaz shot was incredible because it was so stressful going up into that. But it's just, it's been so hard. It's been such a struggle to actually watch and enjoy these games. And I think that's part of that too, is like, look, we're 11 games into the year. There's still plenty more to be played. But if any, you know, iteration of this team has ever, like, really, like, hammered home the idea, like, you don't have to watch every second of every game, it's very much this one.
Yeah.
Because as expectations rise every single time, you can't meet expectations always. And even when this team has structured, even if people weren't picking them to like win the championship or win the East or whatever, you go into every single game going, you know, this is a game, even if they shouldn't necessarily, not like this, they should win this game. Every single game is realistically pretty winnable. So they're going to lose basketball games. They're not, you know, winning out the rest of the season. So every single one of those losses is a bummer. You know, it's not like in the process years when they drop 26 straight and you're like, yeah, whatever, man. Basketball's a fun sport. Just enjoy it. It's not that anymore. So it does get stressful, but like it's more important to just not stress yourself out too much because this team is going to even out. I'm not super concerned about it. I'm going to say that on as many podcasts in a row as possible until they like kind of turn it around and I'll be like, guys, I wasn't concerned. Meanwhile, I'm basically lying to you a little bit. But yeah, that's what's going on.
Let
me ask you this, Max.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got two questions for you. If you don't, if you, unless you want to make your point first,
go ahead.
Okay. Let's look at. Let me grab the Nuggets game. This is the 25th game of the year. What would their record have to be at that game for you to be like, you know what, this is good. Things leveled out. I'm feeling good.
Sorry, which game is this you're talking about?
It's the Nuggets. So it's December 10th. It's the 25th game of the year. That's why I grabbed it. So in the first 25 games, right now, they are 7-4. After 25 games, where would they have to be record-wise where you're just like, oh, you see, that was silly to worry about that stuff. I feel great.
Yeah, and after 25, that's also that point we were talking about where they play whatever it is, like 9 of 12 at home. If they were, I don't know, I'd want to say like 15 wins minimum at that point, like 15 and 10 would be like,
I was going to say 17.
If it's worse than that, I'd feel pretty bad.
Yeah. So between now, November 15th and December 10th, which is, 14 games, we basically, for our comfort, we need them to go at the very bare minimum 9-5.
Yes. I think
that's probably good.
Yeah. To be maybe above 15-5, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay. Yeah. I feel okay with that.
But I mean,
I'd still like it because they're playing so many home games coming up. I would expect it to be better than that, but I would not be in full panic mode if after 25 they're somewhere around 15-10 or 16-9 or whatever it is.
Yeah, because I think too. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule and I can't even be like, well, that should be a win. That should be a win because it's all fucking crapshoot. I do think. I mean, the Knicks are terrible. The Kings are pretty bad.
They should beat the Cavs coming up. Like
they have two more. They have two more Cavs games in that span, but they just beat the Cavs by 1 point. So I'm not super banking on both of those being wins. But most of the other teams they play are solid to good. Wizards are trash. But I think there was all this talk before the year of a bit more parity in the league with superstars spreading out, whatever. And I think not only is that actually the case, but I think there's just a narrowing of skills as well. Like, yeah, superstars spread out. So they're like, you know, Kawhi and Paul George are in L.A. and this is what spreads them out that way. But all the players who aren't superstars, I feel like a lot of the teams have kind of compacted so that without the super outliers, so the best team, which is right now the Lakers and unfortunately the Celtics, but just not take the Lakers off there. So they're 9-1. And then the absolute worst one or two teams in the league. Everyone else, there's not really that huge of a gap in actual on-court production so far. Even in the teams that have losing, like they're playing everybody pretty well for the most part. Where I think it's just there aren't as many just absolute shitty teams anymore this year. Could even out more as the year goes on. People start tanking more. People to start sucking more. But
well, I mean, it helps that the Warriors are what, like 2-10 right now, like that, and we don't really think of them as shitty in the traditional sense. Like when we're thinking
whereas
about the
teams
shitty
like
teams.
Whereas teams like the Suns or the Cavs, who you thought recently as being like shitty, are like kind of solid. Like Suns are pretty good right now. Cavs are looking all right. Like you know,
I think a lot of it.
Mavs are legitimately good. Even though Porzingis is, like, sucking ass.
I think a lot of it is... you can tell me if you agree with this. If definitely
disagree,
feels,
Max.
Definitely feels this way. It feels like this season has been more more movement in terms of, like, superstar players in the league. Like, I feel like... So, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Pascal Siakam... I'm just like going down the list of top scorers. Brandon Ingram, like these are all guys who are averaging 25 plus a game right now and a decent way into the season, like 10 games into the year. I feel like this year you've seen more guys take a step forward. Malcolm Brogdon's like a legit 20-10 guy now, like like almost leading the league in assists. I think a lot of teams like the Hawks, who you would have expected to be pretty bad this year, it's like, and the Raptors you expect to fall off, like guys have stepped up and you're kind of seeing like a new class of stars come in. And I think there's been like more turnover in terms of like the top talent in the league this year than you've seen in a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't know. It's making for really great, you know, off night basketball games just between two random teams to throw on. Whereas, you know, you don't just get to watch the Warriors blow out the Suns or something like that. It's like there's better basketball now. James Harden's doing hilarious things by just refusing to shoot the three-pointer less, and he shoots it more and more and more. It's fascinating. Honestly, legitimately fascinated by the whole thing. It's been a weird ride so far. It's going to continue to be weird. My second question that I had regarding record... we're not going to get super deep into this point because we've talked about this before and we'll talk about it when it comes up and it's going to continue to come up, I'm sure. At what point, not like would you do it, blah, blah, blah. At what point, schedule-wise and record-wise, would you start to honestly worry for Brett Brown's job?
Oh, man, I don't really worry about it this year. I think they'd have to be...
No, you don't think so?
To,
not at all this year?
They'd have to have like a losing record by... They'd have to go into the All-Star break with like a near 500 record, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
So you don't think if they're like, like two games, or like, if they're like at 500 at Christmas, you don't think it's like he's getting canned?
No, I mean, it depends on how it happens, but I just can't. They don't have a guy who would step into that role. I don't know.
Is
I just
still
have
Jim O'Brien?
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't really see it. Yeah, I don't even want to really entertain the thought at this point. Maybe I'm being naive.
No, I don't think you are. Because honestly, I'm just like completely no idea. I'm ready to move on to questions if you are.
We have a bunch of questions. What was the other thing you were going to?
Just one quick thing. I mentioned this on Twitter the other night too with Tobias Harris's 0 for 11 showing from three. Seven times in NBA history, a player in a game has gone 0 for 11, or in Brook Lopez's case, he once went 0 for 12. So a bunch of people have gone 0 for 10. Harden has done it a bunch. Covington did it once. But seven times in NBA history has someone gone 0 for 11 or worse. Three of those seven times happened at the Wells Fargo Center. That is wild to me. It's absolutely crazy.
Was one of them Steph Curry?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was the game where the Warriors won.
It was the Harrison Barnes shot, right?
I think so, yeah. Antoine Walker did it in 2001 in a Boston at Philadelphia nice. Game. John Starks and James Harden each did it in the playoffs. And then Trey Burke did it once with Utah. Of those seven, the Curry game, Harden's playoff instance, and Tobias's game were the only three wins of those. Mm. Yeah. Congratulations to Tobias Harris. Making a fun stat Hall of Fame thing. Let's take a quick break, Max, and then come back and take some questions.
Sounds good.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Max. I got some questions lined up. We can kind of blow through a bunch if you're ready to rock and roll.
I am ready to go.
Max, can you go back and edit me out saying ready to rock and roll?
I refuse to do that, Jim. That is saying.
Fuck.
And as God is this, God. As is you asking me to edit it out.
I figured as much, but I had to try. At Mike Lennial asked, there's no way Tobias Harris can continue to shoot this poorly, right?
No. I could see it being like one of those Covington years where he finishes the year shooting like 32%, right? Where this kind of just like this it really hurts to go 0 for 23. Like that's just going to hurt his percentage on the year. But like where he goes through a continued drought or it gets a little bit better, but not totally better. And then it like reverts to the mean, but it's not enough to make it a good shooting season. But he's not going to do this for the rest of the year. He's not going to be a below 33% shooter game in and game out long term.
I'll say this. This should be even weirder. Maybe not even weirder, but so the Fultz thing, there's a very clear delineation point. College pros, right? Boom, right there. Something happened there. Can make that thing. Ben Simmons just doesn't shoot three-pointers. By the way, I'm just realizing I'm doing this. I'm waving my arm around like Bernie Sanders in my apartment. By the end of this year, Tobias will have probably played slightly more games as a Sixer than he did as a Clipper, his most recent other team. As a Clipper, he shot 42.6% from three, which is above his career average by a decent chunk, but still. as a Sixer, he's shooting 29.3%.
Mm.
My brain finds it hard to comprehend that that big of a dip can happen and stay consistent. Like, he's got to be, by the end of this year, as a Sixer, so counting his 32.6% he shot last year on however many attempts it was, he's got to average out to, like, probably 34, 35 as a Sixer, I think. He's just got to. He's shooting 20.4% this season. That's wild. It's absolutely insane.
It'll come back around.
Yeah. If it doesn't, I don't know what happens. Because, you know, that's the real life embodiment of the Ben Simmons argument, right? Where it's like, just shoot it. They have to keep you honest. Even if you just don't make them. Well, we'll see in Tobias Harris. They even now, I mean, he was caught wide open and he drove himself to the rim because he didn't. But, like, if he keeps shooting him at 20%, like, are they going to bother even guarding him? And he's a guy who's made them in the past. Ben Simmons has never done that. So that's a real good avatar for your Ben Simmons should shoot them anyway, even if he misses argument right there. Because will they keep him honest? Who knows? It's going to suck watching that happen. Mark McGowan asked, will we even remember this quote-unquote drought by February? I'll say no, but I'll hang up and listen. It all depends, man, on how they're doing in February. I'm not going to forget it because this is pretty rough, especially the whole Tobias shooting part. But, you know, starting 7-4, and then if, like, you're more on pace for, like, a 55 win thing, which is on pace for 52 as it is, but yeah, probably not that big of a deal. I mean, they've started, what was their record in the first 11 games last year, Max? Do you know? Off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head.
I could tell you in 1 second.
I got it in front of me. Hold on 1 sec. They were
6-5.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah,
that felt worse. The thing too is like if they'd won last night,
it's the weight of expectation.
If they'd won last night or if they'd won that Denver game, they'd be 8-3, and it wouldn't even be a conversation. Like, we're so early in the year that it's not even about 7-4. Like, 7-4 is not bad. Like, we're not going to remember. I don't think we'll remember it because the actual record isn't that bad. It just feels bad right now because it's part of this stretch that's been close wins or, like, bad losses or, you know, and also a lot of offensive struggles. Like, I think if they were to come around and win these next two games, we would, like, completely move on from it.
Yeah.
They'd be 9-4 and we'd just forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's senior jerk alert. Maybe senior. I go, oh, no, it'd be senior. There's an I in there. Mario Shayok is the answer. What is the question? Max.
Who should get James Ennis's minutes in 2 months?
Who should get Jonah Bolden's roster spot tomorrow?
Yeah.
Who is the most mispronounced Sixer on Sports Talk Radio once people know who he is? Let me posit a future scenario for you here. I was talking to some friends this morning about Shayok because he's been absolutely blowing it up in the G League. After you see a little bit more of more than a 2-3 game stretch from Shayok, you know, he's on the two-way, you call him up, give him some garbage time minutes. Say this happens, right? You give him some garbage time minutes, you realize, say, oh, he can actually shoot, which is a transferable skill that we have now. And he can be a knockdown shooter. Doesn't really have to do much other than that. He can just be the shooter guy. His defense, say it doesn't hurt you that much. He's small, but say it doesn't really kill you. And he can just shoot. You run out of days in the two-way. You convert him to a full contract, and then you just cut Jonah Bolden loose. Because at this point, and I apologize to Kevin Rice, who's a big Bolden guy, but we know what Jonah Bolden is, and it's not really an NBA player, is it? So, at the point where you have Shayok on a two-way, say he does well, I don't see why you wouldn't just do something like that. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Jonah Bolden...
Putting that out into the universe.
Jonah Bolden, for sure, is the Sixer that makes the least sense. Long-term, short-term, anything. Like, he feels like a guy who is a Sporkle quiz question in 5 years, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Jonah Bolden, we got a question. Let me pull it up so I can credit who actually asked it. At Rye Campbell Soup asked, mm-hmm. which current Sixers players would you say mirror both your games? And I would definitely say Jonah Bolden for me, because I like to think that I can do a little bit of everything, but I kind of can only pass. That's like the one yep. thing I can do at an average or above average level, and everything else is sort of theoretical. Like sometimes mm-hmm. it happens, but usually not.
Yeah. I am at this exact moment in history, Tobias Harris.
just these last three games.
Yeah. I am refusing to not shoot, but not making a single shot. That's what I'm doing. Or I also do like the... I don't know. I'm a solid defender. I'll get a hand on some shots. You pump faked me out of my shoes once, and I almost injured you. That was fun. Actually, you did that more than once.
Yeah, you're aggressive.
I am. I've blocked your shot before.
I think you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In any like actual organized game, like every time someone pumps me, they would just jump into me and throw up a shot and I'd foul out in 10 seconds. So maybe I'm Jonah Bolden actually. Yeah. Who knows.
Yeah, one other question. Do you have another one you want to ask? The one I have is
No. Actually, that was the one I was going to grab, yeah.
Okay. At RJ Maffa asked, in honor of Disney Plus, what's your favorite Pixar flick?
Max, are you a Disney Plus subscriber?
I am not.
Neither am I.
But I do have a favorite Pixar movie.
Go for it.
So, well, actually, I say that, but I feel like I go back and forth a lot. I probably say Up, just because it's the movie that I most often will go back to, and I've probably seen it like 4 or 5 times. I don't mm-hmm. like. I love Monsters Inc. Monsters University sucked ass. Monsters Inc. I would go back and watch it, but like I don't need to see it. Up, I will watch if it's on, and if somebody yeah. wants to watch it, I'm down. In terms of the Toy Stories, I like them. I actually thought 4 and 3. Were probably my two favorite, just in terms of, if I'm not giving credit to the first one for originality and whatever, I think 3 and 4 right. were actually better than 2 sucked. I didn't like 2 at all.
I didn't see 4 yet.
4 is really good. You should see it. Mm. But yeah, I'd probably go Up, honestly.
Okay.
What about you?
What if I said Cars 2?
You're a liar.
I am a liar. The actual answer for me is Coco.
Yeah, Coco's really good.
Coco was like... astounding to me. Like, you know, I'm looking at the list of them here, right? So the first Toy Story came out, I was 7 years old. Toy Story 2, I was 9. So, like, I was in that realm. And then, like, you grow up and you watch these, whatever. And, like, you watch Toy Story 3 specifically. And you're like, okay, like, this is an A-plus example of movie that is, quote-unquote, for children. Because it's animated, but really it's like for everybody. It checks all the boxes for every possible person. And that was great and just absolutely perfect. And I was like, this is the apex, the A plus of this. And then I saw Coco and I'm like, Coco is just a much better movie, I honestly think. It's the music in it's incredible. The story is great. The animation in it, I think, there is just so much more they could do with the animation, or were able to do with the animation by setting it in that kind of world. Mm-hmm. And like, it gives you the kind of takes the reins off of, yes, it's animated, but it's quote unquote, like in the real world, like, I don't know, Cars 2. I don't know. I guess that's well, like Brave, right? So Brave, which I think is a good movie. It's animated and it's all this stuff, but like, it's quote, like kind of the real ish world. Cause there's like humans in it that are being humans. Whereas Coco, they just like threw those reins off right away, basically. And I thought it would just let them do so many cool things visually and storyline wise. It was like legitimately really, really, really funny on top of everything else, too. Fucking love that movie.
It was great. I'll tell you two movies.
Also, I was like heaving, like body shaking, crying that movie.
Yeah. I'll tell you two movies that Coco is better than. Coco is better than Frozen, which sucks. Have you seen Frozen?
Yeah,
it sucks. I hadn't seen it until like a month ago, and I was like, all right, I got to see this because it's like part of the culture and mm-hmm. kids really like it and whatever. I saw it. It's like, first off, Moana's way better. Moana, it's like not even close.
I actually, I actually have not seen Moana.
You should see Moana because it's not as good as Coco, but it's more in line with Coco in terms of song quality and whatever else. Right. It's just a good movie. Frozen sucked. I don't get why. It's like, for me, it's like the Cars of that type of movie. Cars being like worse, of course, but
Frozen was fine. I'm sure anyone who had a small child around that time probably absolutely despises that film because of what it did probably to your children.
The songs aren't even good.
To me, it feels like it was like they were trying to like reverse engineer a musical from a movie. Like almost like how you create like a backdoor pilot in TV where it's like, oh, all of a sudden we're going to introduce this character because we're going to have a quote unquote like a spinoff of this, even though this person was never really involved with the show before. It's like they were like, this would be a cool, like we could make this a perfect fucking musical, like a family musical that's going to be great, but we can't just throw a musical out there. It's got to be a movie first. So they just made that. I think it accomplished that to a T.
But honestly, like, I get that, but I honestly, I don't know if I was just in the wrong headspace or something. I just didn't think the music was very good. Like, when I heard Let It Go, like, in its entirety in the movie, I was like, wow, this is the song. There were, like, three other songs I thought were better than that. But I was like, man, this is the song that came out of this? Like, Moana has five songs that are better than this.
Yeah, I mean,
Coco also, every song is better than that.
Yeah. If you look at it from, like, the musical standpoint, too, like, it was very Wicked in a way, and the songs in Wicked just whip ass.
You know what I was gonna say?
Tell me the Wicked songs don't whip ass.
All right, I have to go in a minute, but I was gonna before I do, I gotta piss off some more people. The other movie that Coco is better than is Finding Nemo, which is the most overrated Pixar movie of all. I just want to end on that. It's good. I get it. It's just, I don't know. Pixar's done a lot of really cool, really unique, really interesting stuff, and Finding Nemo is just like a good kids movie.
And that takes no risks.
It takes no risks.
No risks.
It's better than Cars because Cars is infuriating in every way. Like, up until that point, Pixar was perfect. They hadn't made any mistakes. They've gone back and they've done some bad stuff. Like, Brave was fine. Monsters University was bad. I didn't even see The Good Dinosaur, but everyone said it sucked. They've made three fucking Cars movies at this point. Cars 1 was like the beginning of the end of Pixar being consistently amazing.
I don't understand the anatomy of the Cars.
They do such a good job of like, they bring in like marine biologists to like figure out all the shit behind you, and they're just like, make their like grill a mouth and put eyes on it. But they don't even put eyes in the headlights, which would be the thing you'd think. No. They just put them on the damn windshield. It's like, oh man, I'm getting angry just thinking about it.
Side question, and feel free, if the podcast ends right now, that means Max was so offended by this question that he cut it out. Do the Cars fuck?
They do, because isn't there... I might be wrong about this. Doesn't Tomator have like a son at some point? I might be totally wrong about
that. I didn't know there was
anything
called a Tomator.
It's the one...
I've never seen any of the Cars movies.
It's the car voiced by Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy? I put that much together in the last 3 seconds.
I'm looking this up right now.
Are you at work? You can't look up Do the Cars Fuck at work, man.
I am. Maybe Tomator doesn't have a son. I don't know. God, this movie sucks so much. Just look up a picture of Tomator for a second. Just so you can see what he looks like, and then tell
me
this movie
isn't trash. He's like a dirty tow truck, right?
He's a dirty tow truck with buck teeth, and sounds like Larry the Cable Guy. Apparently, could they really not get Larry the Cable Guy to voice him for the third Cars movie? It's someone named Adam Burden for the last one. Wow.
Cars 3, Driving to Win.
Yeah. Or maybe that's like a game or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Why would a game be called Cars 3?
It's the third in the series of Cars games. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like how when they make the Spider-Man game, it's Spider-Man 5 after Spider-Man 4.
Wow. I just want to read... let me just read this Wikipedia entry, and then I really have to go. But the entry for Mater is... The character Mater speaks with a hick southern redneck accent with a dash of hillbilly twang and frequently uses incorrect syntax. The real-life person who is the inspiration for Mater's voice is Harley Russell from Eric, Oklahoma on Route 66. Is that just like some guy? He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. It's just like some man who lives in Oklahoma on Route 66. Harley's natural
also,
voice...
Like,
has the same sound and same mannerisms as Mater. Mater's final personality was based on the voice actor Larry the Cable Guy. I don't know if I'd call Larry the Cable Guy a voice actor, and he uses many of Larry's catchphrases, including "Get her done."
But also, you're saying, hey, this is a tow truck that speaks an incorrect syntax and is kind of like a giant dumbass. It's based on this Harley guy. Isn't that guy fucking stupid? Like, it seems weird.
Yeah. Like,
unnecessarily dragging this Harley guy.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Anyway, that's been our Sixers podcast.
All right. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.